You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. military is apparently ready to send a substantial number of troops to the Middle East should Iran take action against American forces. The New York Times reports that the Defense Department presented an updated plan last week. It would call for sending up to 120,000 troops to the region if Iran were to attack the U.S. or if it sped up development of nuclear weapons. That's approaching the size of the American force that have invaded Iraq in 2003. This morning at the White House, President Trump dismissed the reporting.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely. But we have not planned for that. Hopefully, we're not going to have to plan for that. And if we did that, we'd send a hell of a lot more troops than that.
Meanwhile, Iran says the U.S. is playing, quote, a very dangerous game, end quote, as it tries to drag the country into what Iran called an unnecessary war. Eric Schmidt is a senior writer covering terrorism and national security for the New York Times. He also co-wrote the report about the U.S. military plans for Iran. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll talk about your reporting. What was the context? Who were the stakeholders involved in crafting this plan to potentially send 120,000 troops to the Middle East?
Well, obviously, this comes against the backdrop of increasing tensions between between Iran and the United States. And it also comes as the National Security Advisor, John Bolton, who's known for his hawkish views on Iran, basically asked the Pentagon to come in and brief him and other senior administration officials last Thursday at the White House on what the state of military contingency planning was should the Iranians attack the United States. And again, the U.S. has claimed that there's new intelligence out there over a week ago that indicates that Iran or its proxies in Iraq or Syria could attack United States troops. So the what's happened, though, in the last several years is with the drawdown of American forces in Iraq and in other places in the Middle East, the question becomes how quickly and with what kind of forces could the Pentagon respond to any kind of attack on American troops or ships in that region?
Now, one thing that this plan did not include, it sounds like, was an actual direct land invasion of Iran. Is that right?
That's correct. The way it was explained to me and by my sources was this is a plan that essentially helps defend American allies in the region against an Iranian attack, and also to help American United States defeat the Iranian nuclear program should they, as you indicated, speed up dramatically from where it is today. But it does not call for a land invasion, which would require many, many more forces.
Now, President Trump, as we just heard there, denied or disagreed with the report, but said, yeah, he would do that and more. What do you make of the president's response to your reporting?
Well, the president clearly hasn't been briefed on this yet. As we indicated, this is something that's at the very preliminary stages right now, basically because this new threat stream has come in and the American administration officials are concerned about it. So Mr. Bolton, who's the National Security Advisor, convened a meeting of top security officials last Thursday to get at least an initial briefing on where the military planning stood and basically to revalidate a long-standing plan the United States military has had on how to respond to threats from Iran. But it does not appear, as we indicated in our story, that the president has yet been briefed on this. And it would be a surprise, frankly, if the president did go ahead with this, because, of course, one of his main themes is how to draw down American forces in the Middle East, draw down from places like Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan. So then it's very, very unclear whether he would approve such an increase. And I have to emphasize that the 120,000 force is the kind of the uppermost option right now that they were considering at this meeting.
Now, one concern that Europeans, among others, have raised could be this scenario. The United States doesn't necessarily want a war with Iran. Iran doesn't want a war with the United States. But there might be enough moving parts and elements that aren't in direct control of either country that could bungle us into a war. What are people talking about?
Well, that is a big concern. Obviously, it was mentioned yesterday by British and other officials. But it's a big concern that people I talked to at the Pentagon and the military commanders, too, they worry about an accidental skirmish escalating to something much larger, with the Iranians now feeling the bite of economic sanctions, increasingly tight sanctions that the U.S. and allies have been putting on it. There's a concern even in the Pentagon that these sanctions have gone too far, and that what you'll see now, particularly as these waivers on different countries allowing them to buy Iranian oil have been cut off, that you're backing the Iranians into a corner and they'll lash out. Now, it may not be, you know, a direct military confrontation. Over the weekend, there were several oil tankers off the coast of the United Arab Emirates that were attacked or were sabotaged. And it's unclear what happened here. The Iranians say they didn't do it. The U.S. government says it's likely they did, but how they did this is still very much in dispute and no evidence has been put forward. So it's an incident like that that somehow could escalate into something much greater that I think has a lot of people here in Washington concerned.
Talking to Eric Schmidt from the New York Times about the U.S. And its relations with Iran and risks of military confrontations. And Eric, one element that some people point to, well, two really, proxies of Iran, non-state groups that Iran backs, or elements of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's Navy, apparently not necessarily completely under the control of the Revolutionary Guard, maybe taking action on their own that could escalate.
That's right. You have Iranian-trained and equipped militias, essentially proxy forces, Shia groups that are in Iraq and Syria, for instance. These are forces that could be employed by the regime. As you mentioned, you have the IRGC, which is kind of a military wing of the government, separate from the Iranian military. That's much more hawkish and has been involved in skirmishes in the past in the Persian Gulf with American naval vessels. And so these are some of the actors that the U.S. intelligence agencies and the military worry about could instigate some kind of attack.
Now, we had this nuclear deal with Iran. Obviously, not everyone loved it. President Trump among them and John Bolton. But did that give a framework for negotiation and diplomacy that is maybe lacking now that the U.S. has pulled out? Iran's talking about violating some elements of it now that the U.S. has pulled out.
Well, certainly that was the argument that the architects of this made, both back in the Obama administration and its partners in this in Europe and such, and that basically you're focusing on the most serious threat, that is the nuclear threat that Iran posed, and this puts severe constraints on their ability to enrich fissile material that could be used in a nuclear weapon. It capped this and basically bought the international community time in which they hoped that maybe there would be a change in government by the Iranian people during that period. President Trump came in, of course, and called that deal one of the worst he's ever seen and pulled the U.S. out of it. We're now in this kind of interim period where the Europeans have stayed in, but the United States has basically given customers out there, international customers, a choice. You either, the Europeans a choice, you either stick with us and pull out, you know, along with us, or you face the possibility of the United States leveling sanctions against you as well. And most international companies are not going to, you know, the market, you know, they'll look, which market do you want to stay in, the American market or the Iranian market? And they're pulling out of the Iranian market because they don't want to lose the American one.
We've seen Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida say he supports the Trump administration's decision to move military equipment so far to the Persian Gulf region, a carrier, aircraft carrier, among others, I believe. What else are we seeing from members of Congress in the White House handling of Iran?
Well, I think you've seen it lined up more or less along partisan lines where you have Republicans praising the steps that the administration has taken so far, steps that the administration assert are defensive in nature and are meant to be a deterrent to any kind of Iranian threat. The president and others have said they do not wish to have a war with Iran. But Democrats in Congress say this is exactly what people like John Bolton, his hawkish advisor, maybe a little bit out of sync with the president on this, is exactly where is leading the nation, is to an unintended war, perhaps, or at least a military conflict of some sort with Iran in the Gulf. So it's shaping up along partisan lines, not to any real surprise here in Washington these days.
So what are the next meetings or developments that you're watching for in the next few weeks?
Well, clearly on the ground, we're watching to see what happens in the Gulf itself. In the region, you have this. You have these military forces flowing in. You have an aircraft carrier, other naval forces that are there. You have these bombers coming in that are again meant to be a show of deterrence. We'll be watching to clearly see what happens to any kind of commercial shipping. Will there be more incidents involving tankers being attacked or sabotaged, whether it's in the Persian Gulf or the Red Sea, any other type of attacks going there. Obviously, we'll watch and see what European actors are doing. We'll watch President Rouhani of Iran has given the Europeans about 60 days basically to help turn around the American position on this, or else he's threatened to resume enrichment of some of the fissile material that they can make nuclear weapons with, and that would mark another escalation. And again, stepping a step by Iran, that is to move away from the nuclear deal that was struck in 2015. Up till now, the Iranians and the Europeans have basically said, let's try and wait out this administration and hope a democratic administration is elected in the United States next year, a democratic administration that would, you know, re-embrace the terms of the nuclear deal. But now that resolve is starting to fray on all ends.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Eric Schmidt, senior writer covering terrorism and national security at the New York Times. We talked to them about the Defense Department's reported plan to deploy up to the upper limit, 120,000 troops to the Middle East if Iran were to attack the United States or speed up work on nuclear weapons and uranium enrichment. The Times says the plan does not include a land invasion, though, of Iran.